This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. You see and hear a lot of news reports about income inequality, and most of the time it talks about the racial divide, how white households are wealthier than black households. And that's true. But researchers at the University of Michigan think there's more to see about wealth and income inequality. Joining us now is Willie Elliott. He's a professor of social work at the U of M. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me here.
So let's start with some simple definitions. There's wealth inequality, and then there's income inequality. Could you give us a definition of each?
Yeah, we tend to think about income inequality, and people are most familiar with that. And that basically is what you earn from your job, right? So however much money you earn, whatever income you bring in your paycheck, that's your income. And there's great discrepancies between income inequality as well as wealth inequality. Where wealth inequality can come from capital, like if you own a home, or if you have rental homes, or if you have savings, it's any of that stored up income that you have is the most basic way of thinking about it.
In these days of white identity politics, many white people had the idea that wealth inequality was purely a black problem, you write in a report, but many white families are actually in the same situation. How did many white people come to the conclusion that wealth inequality was only a problem for black families?
Well, I think it's a long history, for one. It's similar to income inequality in a sense. There's been a lot of research done around income inequality and how there's many times we see images around income inequality and they use black faces. And so people tend to think of it as a black problem and it's been defined that way. And so the same thing with wealth inequality is that most of the studies now look at black-white wealth inequality and talk about how blacks have lower wealth accumulation than whites have. And so it becomes, if the narrative all the time in the media and all the research being done tends to focus around the black and white wealth inequality, it becomes seen as a black problem.
And we know that some of that's true because, you know, the history of redlining in this country, the history of Jim Crow in this country have kept black families from gaining the wealth that you were talking about, like in a house, for example. Even more recently in Detroit, as white flight left the city, the housing prices went down and all the equity they had in their house doesn't mean anything anymore because the house doesn't cost anything. So I'm wondering, you know, in this country's history, have white people kind of always viewed wealth and income inequality in these racial terms?
I believe so. I don't have evidence to suggest that, but we certainly know of more recent times that's been the case, and I'm pretty sure that's always been the case. But you bring up a good point, is that, like, this doesn't mean that there's not black wealth inequality. There is. But what we're shining a light on is the fact that it's not only blacks, that the wealth inequality is a problem for most Americans, and particularly within white Americans as well.
Yeah, and in this report you recently released, you found that the bottom 20% of white households and the bottom 20% of black households each hold less than 1% of each racial group's total wealth. So, you know, it's a little wonder that some white Americans feel left out. They feel like the economy has left them behind. So explain that a little further. Why are you basically saying that a lot of black households and a lot of white households are in the same boat?
Yeah, when you look at it, now the magnitude of the inequality is different. So blacks on average have less wealth, but whites still have very little wealth. So at the bottom 20%, you have most of them have zero wealth, right? And so,
in other words, what they own and what they owe. It's some zero or negative zero. Right?
Yeah, zero or negative zero in many cases. And so, yeah, so it looks the same, though, in both cases with regard to it. And we don't think about it that way. We think about it only in terms of black-white wealth gap oftentimes.
So how does this emphasis on race and wealth inequality and income inequality, how's that getting away in the broader discussion about inequality?
It gets in the way because it prevents us from joining together. So for white families and black families who are feeling the frustration of, even though there's a low unemployment rate, they don't have assets. They can't make it from week to week. And any kind of little thing that comes up, a flat tire or, you know, a doctor's appointment, throws them off schedule. And so they feel that frustration, even when they're being told about that. And so
there was that study, a couple of years ago that said if you had a $400 crisis in your home, a lot of families could not take care of that.
And in the government problem. Shutdown, we saw it in evidence, right, where many families that were white families were also suffering because they didn't have a month's worth, they couldn't survive without a month worth of salary.
So what I hear you saying is white people should be just as concerned about inequality as black people are concerned about inequality.
And absolutely. And if we're ever going to make real change around wealth inequality and think about redistribution and wealth transfers differently, it's going to be important for everybody to understand they have a stake in the game. Like white in black families have a stake in the game, and so it makes sense for them to join together.
So that redistribution of wealth you're talking about, you're getting into some pretty
hard terms.
Controversial discussion there. I mean, when we start talking about wealth inequality and redistribution, people bristle. I mean, this is America. If you want a better life, work harder, work smarter, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Wealth redistribution schemes to decrease wealth inequality are seen as almost un-American. So how true has that been in our country's history?
That's certainly how they have been portrayed. And I think one reason is because it's been made into a racial issue, right? And so it's easy to make a wealth transfer look like you're taken from wealthy whites and given to poor blacks. But in reality, it's really about making the American dream work, that effort and ability should be the determining outcome. But in a society in which when we have almost full employment, right? I mean, we're down to like 3% unemployment rate, people still aren't making it. And so work alone in this day and age when you have automation is not enough. And so people have to be able to tap into assets. Most of wealthy people's incomes consist of asset income, right? So from owning a business or home or whatever else, it's capital income. And so we have to tap lower income whites and blacks into the ability to accumulate wealth. And since they're beginning at a deficit, there's a need for there to be redistribution and some transfer of wealth to give them a fair chance to use their effort and ability.
Now, you gave a couple of examples of how the federal government has had programs in the past that did that. Could you talk about those?
Yeah, I mean, way back from the Homestead Act to the GI Bill, these are classic examples of where the government has decided that we're going to put some money, invest some money into lower income families and give them an opportunity. So, and the great thing about it, which really goes against the whole idea of trickle-down economics, is that when they made these investments, there was a large return back to society, not just to the individual, but society received great benefits from these kinds of advancements. So we should invest in all different kinds of people to include low-income people.
So you wrote in an article, you co-wrote for The New America, which concludes with this. When's the last time we as a country were unified enough to call for or demand our politicians to create a wealth-building program as grand as the Homestead Act or the GI Bill? Then you write, it's past time to do that now. After all, an American problem requires an American solution. Okay, what's the solution and do we have the political will to make it happen?
I think we're working on the political will to make it happen. I think we see it even in our candidates today, where like Booker has proposed baby bonds.
Cory Booker
has proposed baby bonds. And Senator Warren is talking about tax. So free college is now discussed. These are things we couldn't discuss or even bring up in the public domain 5-10 years ago. Now we're having discussions about it. So I think we're moving in that direction. People are beginning to understand that their plight is not just because of someone's effort, but also because of the structural inequality that exists. And we need to do something to rectify that.
Willie Elliott is a professor of social work at the University of Michigan. The report is titled, White Americans Have a Reason to Be Mad About Wealth Inequality. Thanks for explaining this to us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.